This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He's with thecitywire.com, a website that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the entire KUAF listening area. Let's begin with something of a controversy on the campus of the University of Arkansas, Fort Smith, over a series of lectures that did or did not happen.
Right, yes. It may have just been an illusion. Here at the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith, a transgender student, I don't guess that's an exact title, but Jennifer Braley had been asked to speak to a general psychology class on gender identity disorders. And she has apparently spoken to this group and other classes before. For whatever reason, Kyle, the University of Arkansas, officials at the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith did not want that held, canceled the class, and told Dr. Laura King, whose class it was, that this presentation to the class couldn't happen. Dr. King is upset. She's claiming that she's not getting a clear answer, suggests that there's a lack of academic freedom around the issue. Jennifer Braley apparently is not getting clear answers. One report from the administration said, look, we just don't have time for this now. We're in finals. We have to focus on that. Although Braley and King have pointed out that other classes were able to have similar presentations. And then the university said, well, she doesn't have the right service. She doesn't have the right forms, essentially, to do this. Although, again, she's made other similar presentations to other classes before without objection. So we've been tracking the story down for a couple weeks, and one of the issues we had is just a delay in getting a response from the university. We sent them an FOI request for details. It took them longer than what the law allows, but you know we're willing to be patient on that. But the bottom line here, it's a case. It's not so much about who the student is and what the subject matter. It's a case of academic freedom and transparency and willingness to consider new ideas on a university campus.
Well, the official statement from UAFS says that while there were miscommunications, the cancellation of the class and postponement of the student speech had absolutely nothing to do with the subject matter of the student status or the student status.
Right. So, I mean, that's their statement. The Dr. King, the instructor, the professor, and Jennifer Braley, and even Melanie Stout, who's editor of the Lions Chronicle, the student newspaper, don't seem to be buying that explanation yet. There will probably be more come out from the university to better explain their position. I hope so. But, again, this boils down to academic freedom, ability to consider new ideas and concepts in an academic environment are at issue here.
Tyson Foods this week had some good news for shareholders.
Yes, good news, and that's in that sector, that's welcome news. You know, right now, again, folks like Tyson Foods, large companies like Tyson Foods, who buy a lot of corn and grain, those commodity prices are high. The beef processing sector in the U.S. is really taking a hit. These companies are losing every time they process a cow, they're losing money. They're losing money. And so, despite all that, they were able to earn $166 million in the first quarter, in their first fiscal quarter, which was up over Wall Street estimate, about $26 million more than what Wall Street was expecting, and over what they earned this time last year. And following that, the good news from that is their share price went up, and several Wall Street firms, brokerage firms, raised their expectations on what Tyson should earn for the full year. And that speaks well for a couple reasons, not just for Tyson Foods, but hopefully that speaks to the overall health of the economy. I mean, if companies like Tyson, who provide basic foodstuffs and have to deal in that sector of the economy, if they're expected to do well, hopefully that reflects throughout the economy.
On the City Wire, for some time you've been following the issue of rural post offices and rural distribution centers. You have a story on the website right now from Bloomberg that kind of presents a murky future for rural post offices.
Right. This is an issue, and Kyle, you and I have talked before, this is an issue I find interesting, especially in our conservative Arkansas, where a lot of people are demanding, and rightfully so, I'm not judging the demand, demanding that government cut back, cut services, quit spending, that type of thing, get us out of this deficit. Yet when the Postal Service says okay and decides to cut rural service, cut Saturday service, we collectively lose our minds, and our congressional delegation, who we just maybe have told Monday to go cut spending, will tell on Tuesday, hey, don't let them cut our post office. So there's a schizophrenia there, political schizophrenia there that's interesting. And yes, the story on the CityWire talks about that and talks about how, you know, every time Congress tells the Postal Service to start acting like a business, and then the Postal Service does that and respond, the obstacle that the Postal Service finds is indeed members of Congress. So it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. But you know, Mark Pryor, Senator Pryor, and Senator Bozeman both yesterday said that this plan by the Postal Service to keep some of these rural post offices open, not cut as many workers, consider hour cuts that they do to not be so drastic. You know, they both said these are step in the right direction. Senator Pryor said the Postal Service's meeting is halfway. But again, Kyle, just, and I may be editorializing here a little bit, and I apologize. It's interesting. We want our government smaller. We want it to spend less, unless it affects us individually. So when we see that, even with the 188th issue, you know, cut spending. Oh, but not our stuff.
Right. Finally, the day before yesterday, there was a study session, which some towns call an agenda setting session, for the board of directors from Fort Smith, and the subject came up about where a sexually oriented business may or may not locate in the city. And there's some history there, right?
Yes, there's some expensive history, Kyle.
You're adamant about that.
Yes, well, and this is just one of those head scratchers. You know, a lot of the things that the Fort Smith Board of Directors or any municipal board or governing body, you know, the actions they take and they consider, a clear majority of the time, us as journalists, that's interesting. We don't have an opinion on it, don't care to have an opinion. We're just following through and see where it goes. It's just our job to track them. This one's a head-scratcher, Kyle. Several years ago, the city of Fort Smith spent, or lost, however you want to look at it, roughly $800,000 to sue a strip club, Regina's House of Dolls, said it was too close to a church and this type of thing, and try to shut them down. And the courts found that the city clearly violated this business's constitutional rights. But here we go again. The city is considering an ordinance that would restrict the location of sexually oriented businesses. And again, I don't care. It doesn't really matter what Michael Tilley or Kyle Kellums thinks about where these businesses should or shouldn't be placed. The courts, the federal courts, have already established the precedent on how cities must interact with these type of businesses. But the city board, Fort Smith City Board, has essentially said, we really don't care what the courts have decided in the past in terms of access and distance and zoning requirements. We're going to enact our own set of rules. So they're essentially asking for a federal lawsuit. It's just a head-scratcher, Kyle.
$800,000 in the 90s, that's not small change.
Well, here's some perspective. You know, we've been talking about this Fort Smith Convention Center issue for a long time. That would fund convention center operations for a year and a half, maybe 2 years, depending on the convention center revenue. So, yeah, that's a lot of money. I'm not saying they're going to lose that much or they're going to get caught up in a lawsuit. I mean, they may just get a slap on the wrist, but it just speaks to the quality of governance also, and I just think that's a concern. And if they keep acting like this, it's a valid concern.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor at thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, and more for the entire KUAF listening area. We'll see you on TV this weekend.
All right, yes. Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you, Michael.